Okay, welcome to class. I just want to start by making a couple of little announcements and requests of you guys before we get into class again. First of all, I'm wondering if there is any person other than John who would like to be our class note taker for today, or who would be willing to volunteer to be our class note taker for today.
And thanks to John for yesterday.
Wonderful. Please, somebody volunteer to be the note taker. The extension students will be very happy. Yes. Thank you. And so, let's see. The other thing that I want to note is that if something interesting happens during class today that you think would be interesting to people who are looking at the video online, if you could just take a look at the clock and jot down the time, by the end of the class, you will know how to edit the wiki. And we're hoping that you will edit those little interesting times up into a space that will be clearly marked on the week's page for this week, so that then we can use those to guide people to the most interesting parts of the video. So if you're looking for a way to participate without being the official note taker, or if you take notes and you're willing to share them later or anything like that, all of that stuff can go up on the week's page of the wiki. And then just for the extension students, Jean, can you come down for a second? I just want to introduce Jean Koo, who's the other instructor in the extension school, so that everybody has a chance to see him live and in front of the camera and before they meet him as an avatar, or maybe after.
Hand him the microphone.
They meet him as the avatar.
Voice too.
Hi, Extension School.
Okay, so I'm passing it on.
Thank you. All right, well, we're going to talk about Wikipedia and then talk about our own wiki today. Yesterday, I began by introducing the general concept of the networked information environment. This is the name that Benkler attributes to this broader space. In chapter 3 of Yochai's book, he addresses the question of peer production. And in a sense, peer production is the essence of this collaborative, non-market process of producing things of value. On the screen is a picture of a man named Richard Stallman. How many here know who Richard Stallman is? Ah, wow. All right. Well, to cyber geeks, Richard Stallman is a hero. He was a programmer at MIT, who back in 1981 was working, writing programs as other programmers in universities were doing, and became aware of a significant problem. That is, when people acting in the spirit of collaboration produced interesting programs and put them out, what happened, quite typically, was that some company that saw value in the program would take the program, tweak it in some way, put a copyright on it, and bang, it would be theirs. And so Stallman said to himself, this doesn't make sense. I'm wanting to produce for the commonwealth of knowledge. I'm wanting to produce code, software, which is freely distributed and available to everyone. And so my thought, put it in the public domain, seems to make sense. But then what happens is that someone takes it out of the public domain, as they're perfectly able to do, and puts a proprietary label on it. That makes it theirs. And improvements that are made to that initial piece of software are now not accessible to the world at large. You have to pay the price to the copyright holder who has it. And so Richard Stallman invented something that's come to be known as the general public license, or in the vernacular, copyleft. Now what is it? It's the skillful use of copyright in a way to accomplish the objective that Richard wanted. Copyright is based on the idea that the author of a work has control over the copying of that work for the extent of the copyright period. That period started constitutionally at 14 years, extended to 28. It's now into lifetimes. It's now forever, effectively. And if we're talking about software, which has a useful life of maybe 18 months before you need to update, copyright is forever. So what Richard did was, instead of putting his work in the public domain, he put his work under copyright. But instead of retaining all of the rights himself, saying to the world, if you want to copy and use my work, you have to come to me to get permission to do it, and perhaps even pay me for the right to do it. What he did with his copyright was copy left his work in a way that gave permission to others to use it, but with a condition. The condition was that if they improve the work, if they take the work and they add something to it, they have to attach the same kind of permission to their work as they've produced it. That is, the general public license, which is what that came to be known as, has a viral quality to it. You put your work out under the GPL, and if someone wants to use your work, then the work that they produce will also be under the GPL. And so, in a very interesting way, he constitutes the public domain on a legal foundation that it never had. Now, Richard Stallman is a kind of a purist. He's at the source of the open code movement. Free software. This is a movement that has spread across the world. Many countries, it's a vibrantly significant movement. And it is the movement that produces the Linux operating system. Richard himself authored a number of the elements that ultimately were incorporated into the Linux environment. Apache, which runs most of the servers, is an open source program, open code program, which competes against the proprietary software very successfully. These are classic examples, and there are others in the geek field, email, where people have written programs, often collaborating with others as they do it, that turn out to be of immense value to many people. This is a quintessential example of what Benkler refers to as production in an information networked economy. Non-market production, where the old rules about you produce and the transactional basis for which you pay, you are paid, is not the driving force. All right, so in a sense, there's two models to be contrasted. There is the classic model of for-profit production, where the core organizational form is hierarchical, corporate, for-profit. The idea is central control, as Benkler describes in the taxonomy of commons. Degree of regulation is one of the parameters. Well, the classic model is a centrally controlled enterprise that is structured hierarchically with a CEO on top and then a bunch of vice presidents and a bunch of people in. If you take and you imagine that each one of the nodes and each one of the people in a company are connected to the person at the top, that's the vision of hierarchy. And if you take a drawing like this and you imagine it kind of just pulled up with all of the nodes falling under, you can see how it would fall into the typical hierarchical structure of men at the top, vice presidents, people underneath.
Well, that's the classic way. What's buzzing?
Like every time you go to a really white slide.
White. Bad. All right, look at that and get it in your mind, and we're gone from that. Good. So what you saw there is what you might think of as a model of the new form. The new form has a center to it, for starters. That is, someone has to create the architecture. If we're talking about Wikipedia, someone creates the idea of Wikipedia. In the case of Wikipedia, let me go quickly through. In the case of Wiki and Wikipedia, well, here are two others to introduce you to. On the left is a man named Ward Cunningham. He was actually the programmer that wrote the Wiki program. Now, what is a Wiki? A Wiki is a collaborative environment in which all participants are able to edit. Simple as that. The idea is, we're going to work on a document. Here's the document. All of us have access, and all of us can edit. All of us can add whatever we want. All of us can subtract whatever we want. The ultimate product is the end product of whatever effort we put in. Conceptually, it's a very simple tool. Most people, when they first hear about Wiki, say, that can't work. That would never work. Can you imagine all of us trying to edit something? That's ridiculous. And yet, this man, name is Jimbo Wales. Jimbo Wales is the guy who took the Wiki and decided that he would apply it to the task of generating an encyclopedia. The Wikipedia. And the Wikipedia has become the single most successful example of this collaboration to date. Now let me just... Excuse me. I want to go to... Hang on one second. Oh, too much white. Wait a minute. Deal with the buzz. Take a look at this quickly. This is the front page of Wikipedia. It's quite amazing when you look at it. What you're talking about here is an encyclopedia that has been generated by open collaboration with the globe. And these are all the different languages in which Wikipedia has now been generated. And these numbers that you see, for France, 380,000, for Spain, 151,000, for English, 1,380,000. These are the number of entries. That is huge numbers of entries. 5 years ago, this didn't exist. Some of the languages. Yes, it's true. 5 years ago, this didn't exist. Can we...
If you scroll down, you can see the full list. They're sorted first by... But if you go up a little bit, the first set of list right there.
Come on up here, Mako, and you drive.
it's just a list of all the languages that are supported. The first list is there's about 10 with 100,000, about I think it's like about a 100 with 10,000, and then you kind of go down like that. You can see these are all, you know, there's a bunch with just a few articles, but you can kind of go up the list. So
Mako, who are you?
Good question. I'm a free and open source software developer in the tradition of Richard Stallman since I was about 12 years old, and more recently a Wikipedian as well.
So you're really into Wikipedia.
I'm into Wikipedia, yeah.
The shirt.
I am wearing the shirt, yeah.
What does that say?
It's a Wikimania shirt.
Wikimania.
It's actually the staff shirt.
So. Ah. And that means that you've made contributions to the
Well, I mean, the shirt means that I help volunteer for the conference. But I have made contributions. So
if we have some questions about Wikipedia, you'd be the person to ask.
You could ask me questions about Wikipedia.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I hope that we will have some questions to ask him. Now let me just see if I can get back to where I am. Okay. Let me stay with Wikipedia for a bit. Wikipedia has some qualities to it that are worth noting. First, it is a collaborative, wait a minute, perhaps I can get rid of the buzz this way, a collaborative authorship tool, with the emphasis on tool. The wiki is a tool. It is a useful piece of software to be used by a collaborating group. But basically, it comes down to being a software tool. It's structured in a way so that when you make a contribution or you make an edit, your work is transparent. A record, in effect, is kept of all edits, all contributions, so that if some contribution is made and you come along and look at it and you don't like it and you liked what was there before, you could put it back to what was there before. In a sense, this makes the whole process transparent. Everybody can see what's gone on and what's going on. And it's an encyclopedia in that it's a tool that is focused on a specific task. Now, I think Jimbo Wales was brilliant to pick out encyclopedia as a subject because it invites contribution across the wide range of knowledge. But in doing that, he is looking for a particular form, a particular way of addressing subjects, which has come to be known as the neutral point of view. That is, the objective is to take the kind of stance that is appropriate to an encyclopedia, where you're not in it doing advocacy. You are basically trying to take an overview of subjects. And so you reach for a neutral point of view. And that idea, both in the sense of knowing what we're doing an encyclopedia, and knowing what point of view we're trying to achieve in doing it, has been a tremendous strength of Wikipedia. It's been something that appeals to people. They can participate in it and have a sense of understanding in what they're doing. So in just 5 years, Wikipedia has beaten the Encyclopedia Britannica. It is now, I would say, you would say. Would you say?
I mean, it certainly depends on how you define beaten. There are certainly more articles. And I think you could probably make a very strong argument that it has more information and more content in, and even perhaps even more extensive and more reliable content in certain subject areas. But in other areas, maybe not. I mean, there's a lot of people, it's pretty hard to compare two encyclopedias, as it turns out. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of arguments about how you should or shouldn't do that. But it's certainly got a lot more content and a lot more contributors. And it's growing a whole lot faster, so.
And I think also it has a lot more up-to-date information. I mean, you'll find wiki entries on an event that happened an hour beforehand, and they'll be edited, and they're up-to-date. And also with technology articles, you'll have very, well, I mean, a lot of Wikipedians tend to be technology people as well, so you'll have very documented articles on the most recent technologies that may take, like, several years to enter into the Britannicas.
And who are you?
Who am I? I'm Elizabeth Stark. I'm a 3L here at HLS, and I've been involved in with the Berkman Center and a lot of technology-related initiatives throughout my years. So,
and Becca and I have invited Elizabeth here today to do a tutorial with you, which we'll get to shortly, on how to use our wiki. But first, a little bit more about Wikipedia. So, between the two of you, address this problem, which is on the top of every high school teacher's mind. I teach my students, I ask them to do a research paper. What they do now is they go online, they go to Wikipedia, and they crib it right out of there. And it'd be one thing if it was really good, but who knows whether there's any decent quality in this Wikipedia. It's made by a bunch of people who are not experts, after all. What do you say to that teacher?
Well, I mean, if the problem is that people are copying things out of it, I think that's usually already against the rules. But if the issue is that it's bad...
But that's what they think is research now. They think research is going to Wikipedia.
I mean, that's a pretty common sort of sentiment. And in some situations, I mean, you can certainly point to articles that have inaccurate information. I remove inaccurate information from articles all the time. Or sometimes people add these little things that say, this really needs to be cited there because it's not clear that this is something that's accurate. And it sometimes takes a very long time for those citations to ever show up. Months, I don't know, years, who knows.
But frankly, it's not like Encyclopedia Britannica doesn't have errors in it either. And I don't know if you were going to discuss the science. The Nature study was in Nature, right?
Right.
Yeah. Essentially, what Nature, the publication, did was it compared several articles on scientific topics from Wikipedia to Britannica. And they had experts review them and look for errors. And they found that Wikipedia only had a Britannica article had 7 errors, the Wikipedia article had about 9, so it had slightly more errors. So they both had a significant number of errors, but Wikipedia was somewhat on par with Britannica, and it was highly criticized, and Britannica responded to Nature and said, they questioned the methodology that was used, and Nature stood by their process. But essentially, this was kind of a wake-up call, firstly, for people that were writing Britannica, because they had a lot of errors as well. So even when we have professional editors, they don't always get it right. And then it was saying, well, Wikipedia, could perhaps be parallel or surpass the quality of traditional encyclopedias.
I mean, need to separate. There's a variety of different types of inaccuracies that can seep in. There's people that simply make mistakes, or people that say things that are common knowledge but turns out aren't really true, apocryphal sort of information. I've sometimes found out that something that I read, and I said, that doesn't sound real, and I looked it up, and it turns out it was an apocryphal story. And then I went through, 10 different Wikipedia articles removing every instance of this particular story that I could find searching for a particular set of words. But then there's also people who may intentionally put inaccurate information in articles. And sometimes when it's, snails eat human flesh, you say, okay, probably not, and you revert it pretty quickly, but sometimes it's something else. That
snails eat human flesh.
Yes. Yeah, that was something that I found reverted in the article on snails.
You revert. What is reverted?
Reverted mean that
it's
you...
It's not a dirty word.
No, well, I mean...
reverter.
to revert a change is to as you'll see in when you look at the article, you can just pick a random article. Go to the Tyrannosaurus, the featured article. That will be good. And then go to the history link. So one thing that you'll see is that every change that people make is visible on the page. You can see this long list of changes that have been made. This is a featured article, which means that it's probably gone through a lot of work and changes. There's a good revert if you go up. Reverted edits by. Reverted edits there, so you can see the diff. So click the you can. Is this the one? So here's an article that's been reverted, and now we can compare selected versions. You'll see an example of a change that someone made that someone else reverted, and it might be because, let's see what they reverted. There. So someone had added this bit right here, such as the Aunt Jemima Corporation, where one of their ads was seen boiling her slave master in the famous maple syrup and serving him to a hungry family of T-Rexes after a scene. And someone decided that this wasn't encyclopedic. So someone had added this article, and then I like how they put a little smiley face after it as well.
And also spelled dinosaurs wrong. But.
So for some period of time, we can look at the revision to the time between the two revisions, but for some period of time, actually only three minutes. But for 3 minutes, if you had gone to the article, you would have seen the version. You would have seen an otherwise encyclopedic article on the Tyrannosaurus Rex with a little bit about how Aunt Jemima once boiled people, or I don't know, whatever the story was. And then someone came along and said, no, that doesn't belong here. And because it was compartmentalized into a particular edit, they said, that edit is out. And they may be able to say other things that person has done will also be out as well. I mean, you could choose to, you might be alerted to the fact that this person is not the best contributor to Wikipedia. Or maybe they are in other situations, but today they weren't.
So, Mako, take us into the mindset of the person who is watching this Wikipedia entry so closely that within 3 minutes, they're on top of it, and they revert it. Why are they doing it? Where is the payoff for them?
So in this particular situation, this is an article that is, I mean, right now it's a featured article, but when this went on, it was either still a featured article or about to become a featured article or had recently become one, which means that because it's linked on the front page, there are many people that are looking at this article right now. So in that case, the time period would be very small. Where
so
such
if we
a,
picked an article which was not going to be featured on the front page, so right. It wasn't like spotlights on it.
It might take...
It's like a regular old article about Harvard Law School.
Well, Harvard Law School is watched by a lot of people as well because a lot of people care about it. One thing that people can do, and you can't do it because you're not logged in here, but I could log in. Yeah. One thing that you can do is is that people can create watch lists. I've got a little bit of a different theme here, but so it looks a little bit different. But you've got so here's some things that I'm interested in. That have been edited, that have been changed, recently, and the thing's a little bit off, but I can see all recent changes to articles, the Dewey Decimal Classification System, the intellectual property, Evan Moglen, Ubuntu, copyright, blue holes was something that I'm interested in, so.
You are one weird guy.
Yeah. So here's the theme doesn't seem to be working very well in this browser, but yeah, mouth breeders, so some things on fish.
So
but,
when anything comes up on any of those articles, you get a ping.
Yes.
So, and you go look at
yes.
it, and if you don't like it, you revert it.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah. So the idea is that...
All right,
for,
so take me into the mind of Mako. Why are you doing that?
I've contributed to almost all of these articles in some relatively significant form. So in some cases, it's been an article that's had been pretty well written that I came along and looked at later. In some situations, they were articles that I wrote from scratch. I think I wrote them... I might have written the Mouth Breeder article from scratch. I know I wrote this one. So this is my article. It's something. The font is a bit not quite right, because you. No, the issue is not the size. The issue is that you can only see the links. You can't see the text.
You could try Safari.
Okay, I can also just log out. So if you look at this article, this is one that I wrote. There we go. So if you look at this article, someone made a change to this article recently, which is about a guy named Jeff Waugh, who's an Australian free software developer, who's well-known in that community. So if you see, I wrote the initial article, and I've done a bit of other things. So because I've invested a little bit of time into this, I guess I feel some kind of ownership for it, and I want to make sure that it's of a high quality and so on and so forth. So.
All right, so if I get the picture, what's going to happen after you write this article is that somehow a community of people that are interested in Jeff Waugh mm-hmm. are going to gather around this article. Mm-hmm. And you've got a bunch of different people from various parts of the world paying attention to this article. And all of a sudden, you know who else in the world is into Jeff Waugh or into whatever the subject is that you've written about.
Mm-hmm. To some extent, yeah. Also, people...
So in a world, for instance, of academia, where people are looking to build reputation, Wikipedia turns out to be quite remarkable. Because if you write an article that relates to your particular academic subject, and it is respected by others who pay attention to that subject, and as they contribute, you develop a sense of dialogue with them. Suddenly you are at the core of a working intellectual community in which reputation is extremely important. And so immediately you start to see a form of payoff that is a non-market element of contribution. Am I speaking truth?
I think that that's right in many situations. I think there are other people who just, I mean, a very common way, if you look at, I've got a list of my contributions, you can see some of these things are just things that annoyed me. Let's see, yeah, kosher foods. I made like 10 edits. I read the article on kosher foods because I had some real questions about it. And in the process of reading it, I found at least 7 or 8 smaller mistakes that I got to change that, you know. So in that case, I have no investment in kosher foods. I'll probably never go and read or edit the article again. But, you know, I put down 10 little improvements in the process, so.
I was just wondering if we could do a little experiment. Can we Google Jeff Wall?
Sure. We can look at, it's a relatively recent article, so I don't know if it will work, but this one's,
Oh, he's way down the list. Haven't got much traction.
Well, this is it's a relatively new article, so if
Google
it's,
might not have.
How about
mouth brooders? Mouth brooders? Yeah, mouth brooders will be a good one.
What is a mouth brooder?
That's a good question.
There it is.
Number 3. So we can go to the article. There's also, I think I wrote the article on ovophile mouth brooders, but they're fish that rear their young by
it's
keeping
okay.
them in their mouth.
I don't need to know it, so.
They just keep their babies in their mouth.
Can I just ask just 2 questions to the class? How many of you use Google as your first place to go to find out about something that you don't know enough about? And how many of you have found a Wikipedia article as the most useful or one of the resources that you look at when you get there?
Yeah, pretty good. So Benkler tells this story that follows on from the Britannica controversy, because as you can imagine, Britannica has felt Wikipedia's elbows in a very serious way, and they're trying to make claims about this and that, and that's what the nature study comes from. One of the leaders of Britannica interviewed was highly critical of Wikipedia because he didn't like the entry on Andrew Hamilton.
Alexander.
Was it Andrew? Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton, right. He didn't like it, and so he mouthed off in this broadcast about all the errors in the Hamilton broadcast. What do you think happened?
Took about 5 minutes for it to be corrected.
Took about 5 minutes for all the errors to get correct. That is, the audience of people who are caring about this, when they hear an error, they do what Mako does. They fix it. And so, in a sense, the answer to the high school teacher that makes some sense is, if you don't want your students using Wikipedia as their base research tool, maybe the thing to do is to have them research in the classic ways, write their article, and then take a look at Wikipedia. And if what they see in Wikipedia isn't as good as what they've written, hey, time to become a contributor to the Commonwealth of Knowledge. Make the article better. And if you see Wikipedia as this very young enterprise, I mean, how old is the Britannica? How old is Wikipedia? If you see it as this very young enterprise, which has this strong self-correcting, self-developing quality to it, these arguments about how it compares look very dated. It looks like the further you go, the better it gets, the more articles it gets, the more languages it's available in, the more accurate the articles become. So this is really a quintessential example of the new form of organization. What's more interesting in some ways, Mako, can you tell us something about Jimbo Wales and how big the organization is that he runs? I mean, this is like now a huge enterprise, right? This has got to be.
There are very few people who are, so there's a foundation called the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the organization that takes care of the sort of assets of the Wikipedia project, but it's still relatively small. I think it's about $750,000 a year, and almost all of that goes to supporting bandwidth and hardware to run the machines. There are two or three staff people on the foundation, in the foundation, and then there's a volunteer board. And the rest of stuff is happens in the community itself and in the communities themselves and all the different Wikipedia projects.
Did you say two or three staff people?
Yeah.
Wikipedia runs with two or three staff people and a bunch of volunteers.
Yeah, and most of their job is responding to legal threats from people who find things on Wikipedia they don't like, and it's either taking things down or just reverting it or helping people understand that they also have the ability to revert something that's not true.
So think again of the image of the center with the nodes around it.
No, they hired there. Brad Patrick.
In the traditional corporate form, the corporation builds up tremendous staff. In this model, the center produces the architecture. All right, we're going to do an encyclopedia. We're going to use the wiki tool. We're going to run it on servers. But once the architecture is established, then the invitation is open to collaboration. And the core almost drops away. Almost drops completely away. So that this enterprise becomes rooted in the nodes on the outside rather than in the core. In that sense, it's expressive of this idea of we the people that I think is so central to the enterprises that take this organizational form. This is a way of creating wealth that doesn't take a lot of capital. They're built on elegance and imagination. And boom, they can go. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment.
I think in many ways we're still distrustful of an entity like Wikipedia that is created by our peers and perhaps by the masses at large. And I think with the high school teacher, I mean, the answer is clear. I'm going to trust, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica, where you have professional editors that are paid to do this and they're so-called experts, right? Versus a collaborative initiative like Wikipedia that anyone can edit. And I think this also may apply to, say, free software or other initiatives at large. I think this is going to be a big paradigm shift in a way, because we really can benefit from the knowledge of the masses in general or, say, the contributors to Wikipedia. And I think we can build a resource that is far and above that of a professionally edited encyclopedia. But I think people are still very skeptical. I think they want the source that is, you know, has the brand and has the reputation.
I think I would do something different myself now as a high school teacher. I suspect Elizabeth would too if she were a high school teacher. It seems to me that wouldn't you want to just say to your students, pick a Wikipedia article, do some research about something that needs to be changed in that article, and then go make your change, and let your students start to participate in this kind of a thing. And then they're in the position where they have to deal with the fact that everything that comes to them might not be totally trustworthy. They're in the position of having to figure out that there could be some errors and that they have to be critical readers. And they're tasked with thinking about what those kind of things might be.
Now, I'd like, Meko, you have to leave early, is that right?
Yeah, in about half an hour.
Oh, good. And Elizabeth, you're prepared,
I'm here.
prepared to do a tutorial for us on Wiki. So I think it's time to get everybody's feet wet. Can we get our Wiki up there and have you do your thing?
Sure.
Let me just tell you guys what your first assignment for this class is going to be, so that this tutorial is contextualized for you in that way. We have 13 weeks of this class, and we have a wiki that currently has a page for just the very first week of the class that is up there so far. And what we're asking you to do for your first assignment is to form yourselves into groups, however many groups it takes to fill up the 13 weeks. And to take responsibility in the way that Mako takes responsibility for John Waugh for one of the weeks of the class. So anybody can still edit it, But you and your team of people are going to be the ones responsible. And you're going to be in the unusual law school project of working collaboratively to build a document that you are in it, that you're going to be graded on. This is one of your actual assignments for the class. So
unless we succeed. This is a discussion coming up.
Discussion on the way. So Elizabeth is about to teach you how to do the basic things that you need to do to get into doing the wiki editing, the very first task of which is to sign up on the wiki for which week you would like to take responsibility for.
Actually, before you jump to this, let me... I just want to give a personal testimony. I used a wiki for the first time last winter in my evidence class. My evidence class is a 3-week class. We started strictly from scratch, nothing on the wiki. And within 3 weeks, there were more, well, if you go to the bottom of the page, IS, good, go to the bottom of the page of my evidence wiki. First of all, you'll see all the subjects that I covered laid out, everything with notes, all sorts of different entries. If you go just down to the bottom of the page, you see that this page has been accessed 10,849 times in 3 weeks. That's intense. And I, as a teacher who have been laboring for years looking for, you know, interesting ways to teach, was simply blown away by the power of this as a teaching tool. Can you imagine suddenly my class, which had previously been all pretty much me to them and them to me, suddenly formed all these linkages around the outside of the circle and, in a sense, took over the enterprise. So this is an extraordinarily flexible tool with huge potential. Go.
Okay, well, first, I guess I'd like to note that Wikipedia is a great example of a wiki, but it is certainly not the only wiki that's out there. And people, when they think of wikis, often think of Wikipedia, but wiki can also be used as the software that's behind Wikipedia, or it could talk about, I guess, the resource that has emerged out of that software. So we'll be using MediaWiki, which is the same software that Wikipedia does use that I think we saw Mako was editing. But I was just wondering, how many people here have ever edited a wiki of any kind? Okay, so how many people have edited Wikipedia? Oh, almost the same group. All right, so we have a pretty good knowledge base here of people that know how to edit wikis.
Let me see those hands again. That was good.
Oh.
All these people edit Wikipedia, and you didn't know who Richard Stallman is, so there is
Okay, so I guess if people want to follow along on their laptops, especially those that haven't edited wikis, have people been to the class website yet and all of that? Hopefully. Okay, so if you go to blogs.law.harvard.edu/cyber1, I'll do that here. We see the wonderful Second Life video there. And then click on the course development wiki. And then I think this is going to link us. And then just edit that wiki here. OK, so if you guys want to bookmark this, I guess this is the URL for the course wiki.
OK.
So now, to create an account, I guess that's our first step, because you can only edit this by creating an account. Is this correct, Professor Nissen?
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Okay, well, let's see. Say we want to say, what can I go? Say we just want to say, welcome to the CyberOne course wiki, 3! Okay.
2!
Save page. Aha! Okay, you can edit without logging in. Now, do we want to have people register for accounts?
First issue. When we started the evidence wiki, it was just like this. Open. Anybody that got there could edit. That meant that my class could edit. That meant that the world could edit. Unfortunately, after class got going a bit,
people started to vandalize the site from outside.
Well, I think it was spammers, actually.
Spammers, exactly.
Yeah. Wiki spam can be a huge problem because when you can so easily edit a page, you can so easily spam a page as well.
Right.
So automated, I guess, like spam bots would go in and just put links to like lots of Viagra sites. So we probably don't want that to happen here.
Part of the class appreciated, but So the solution to that was to create a login in which you needed to have an account created for you, but anyone who was already in could create one. And if we get hit with spam on this, that's what will happen here. But basically, all of us will be in, and anyone you want can be in, and at the moment, it's structured so that anybody can be in.
I think initially it would make sense to ask everybody to register for their own account because then it's so much easier. For example, if you're editing without an account, then you might, if you want to find your other edits, it just tracks if, you know what IP addresses are? Okay.
How many know what IP addresses are? How many don't?
Okay, so...
It's like your numerical address.
Your address on the internet.
Load on the machine.
So if you don't log in with an account, it tracks your IP address, but if you're like home and then coming to HLS, you'll have a different IP. So I think it's best to ask everyone to get an account now. And then, I mean, Mako, do you just want to talk really quickly about why Wikipedia doesn't have the spam problem? Or do you want me to?
Well, the reason Wikipedia doesn't, they do have the spam problem.
But
what,
why
what,
you don't
what
see
they
it.
Do is, what they do is that they every time that someone starts spamming their pages, they block that address from being able to edit Wikipedia either temporarily or permanently. Depending on the nature of the attack and whether it's been repeated multiple times. And that works well enough so far.
Plus, it seems as if because pages are reverted so quickly, it's almost not worth it for spammers to just constantly spam.
So some pages are reverted very quickly, or many pages are, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to do it. But, I mean, the main reason is that they just block IPs. And, I mean, that means that if you are using an anonymizing proxy, chances are pretty good that you'll not be able to edit Wikipedia from that. You'll be able to read it, but you won't be able to edit it. At least not unless you log in using an account. So
does it make sense for anyone who's got a laptop and is online to...
Yeah, so I think, subject to your approval, we should ask everyone to register for their own account.
Let's do it.
Okay, so if you see, for everyone that's on their laptop, I see some people don't, on the upper right-hand corner, if you just say login/create account and click on that, don't have a login, create an account. Okay, so now here we have the fairly straightforward create account page. So say I'm going to create username Elizabeth, password. So just type in the username that you'd like, password. Now email is optional. You don't need to put it in there, but if you forget your password, you can have it emailed to you. And also, there are options within the software where if people want to contact you, they won't email you directly, but it goes through MediaWiki, and then you can get notifications. So it's up to you. I remember my password, so I'm not going to put my email. My real name, I'll put Elizabeth. Okay.
Is that optional?
Yes. The two bottom parts are optional.
So say a word about pseudonymity, anonymity. How does it work in here? Suppose I would like to contribute to this wiki, but I'm damned if I want anybody to know who I am.
Well, I think it also depends on how you're grading everyone. I mean, with Professor Zittrain's cyber law class this winter, groups were graded on their wiki contributions. So they did have accounts that they were graded as a result of. I mean, in this case, how do you want to work that?
Well, first, I just wanted to make the point.
The point is that I can create an account and call myself whatever I want, and I can make edits, and you probably will never know who I am unless you were to go in and track my IP.
Even then, it can be very difficult
exactly.
to do, especially if you're in a large institution where many people may show up as coming from the same place.
Exactly.
I mean, this is a large problem in Wikipedia. There's this entire concept of sock puppets, which are basically when one user creates one or many other users, which whenever they're having a discussion and they're trying to reach consensus, someone may say something and then log on as 10 other people and say, yes, this is a great idea, very, 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 very smart. And sometimes it can be relatively difficult to prove that that's in fact going on.
So, I mean, who knows? People may want to create multiple accounts, have one that's their official account, and then maybe have another one where they're making off the record. I think Wikipedians also do that, right, off the record edits.
Sure. When people will log out.
They log out and they'll make an edit that they don't want tracked.
So
maybe
I request that you create an account with your real name. If you would like to create a second account with a pseudonym and use it for whatever mischievous purpose you want, that's fine. But please at least create one account with your real name.
Well, is Elizabeth good enough? Or?
For you, it's good enough.
Okay. Oh, and then you probably, I didn't check Remember Me, but since you'll be using this on your own laptop, you can just, if you click Remember Me, it'll store a cookie, and then you won't have to log in each time, which I hate logging into things personally, so makes it easier. Okay, so are we good with, is everyone logged in? Everyone? Okay. Basically, now let's go back to the main page. So now we're looking, getting started, the community pages. Sure, let's check this out. So what exactly is community pages? Do we have an idea behind what we want that to be?
Don't we create it ourselves?
Well, I tell you what, let's go back to main page and put in a heading that says class list or class participants.
Okay, so now I'm clicking on edit.
Let's make it law school class participants.
All right. So now this is basically the code behind the wiki. And there is a wiki kind of markup language that's fairly simple to use. You don't need like major hardcore programming skills to do it. But also on the top, you have what you call WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And that will enable you to do various things like bold, italic, links. And I'll show you all of that. But so right now we're scrolling down, and you can see like there are these brackets and asterisks and stuff. And we're going to put at the bottom. So what is it? Law school class list? Is that what you want?
Yeah, make it law school class participants.
Okay. So I just entered two equal signs, which makes a heading, and then law school class participants. Okay. So this is creating a...
May I just say a word there?
Sure.
So what you're seeing is what you might think of as the back end. This is the code that's being edited. And when she hits save a page, you'll see it goes through a record process and then comes up looking nice like the final product. Right? And whereas there is an ambition ultimately to have this be even simpler as a way of coding, this requires some use of a markup language. That is, there are some things that you have to put in order to make it look a certain way on the front page. Now, the nice thing about this is that anytime you see something in the wiki that looks the way you want your thing to look, you can just hit the edit button and see what it looks like in the code, and then use the same kind of markup, or even copy and paste it, and then plug in the parts, get rid of the parts you don't want, put the stuff in you do want. So I urge you not to feel that this barrier of having to use a markup language is very high. It's not very high at all. There are just a few simple things that you're going to need to absorb, and it's very easy to absorb them as you're going along just by kind of poking around and getting used to it.
Exactly. So now you'll see there's a summary box at the bottom of the page, and I would advise people to make use of this because I think it's extremely useful to see. For example, I'm going to say, all right, what did I just do here? Added law school class participant section. Okay, that's kind of long. But when it comes to tracking edits, sometimes you'll have 50 edits on a page, and you really have no idea who did what. And if you just add a little summary, then it'll be much easier to locate like what people did when. So a minor edit, that could be if you're changing punctuation, maybe a small grammatical thing. I don't know. Would you consider this a minor edit, Mako?
No.
No. Okay. This is a major edit because it's a new section. Yeah.
You added content.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm changing like a comma to a period or something.
Or making something into a link that wasn't before.
Yes, that would be a minor edit. So this is not a minor edit. Watch this page is like what Mako was doing before when he had his
my watch list.
Articles on those. What was the fish again?
So, the mouth brooders.
The mouth brooders, right. So, if this is a page, for example, that you probably don't want to watch the main page, but maybe you do, but when you have a project with your group and you want to see who's made what edits, then you would click that. So, all right, well, we'll preview it first just to show you. For example, if you're just learning the markup language now and you're not entirely sure if you wrote something correctly and you want to make sure it looks okay, preview could come in handy, like, very much. So we're going to see what it would look like if we saved it. And now we see, okay, we have a new section called Law School Class Participants. Looks good. So I'm going to hit Save Page.
You should add content to it.
And can I ask John, are you in a particular direction? We have about 3 minutes left on the video. And
okay.
I'd like you to click on the Weeks pages.
Sure.
So that we have a little activity during the video break for you guys to attempt. These weeks pages here list the weeks, and there's the opportunity for people to sign up.
It looks like people already
snagged the political blogs. So if during the break people are interested and want to get with somebody on a computer and fight over who gets to sign up where for whichever weeks you're interested in, then please go ahead and do so. And we'll just take a few minute break right now for you guys to absorb what you've gotten so far. Okay, we're rolling again. Goodbye to Mako and thank you. And okay, back to Elizabeth.
Okay, so now we're going to go through, everyone is registered for their account, hopefully. And if you click on your username here, I have Elizabeth. This is my user page. And usually this is kind of like your profile. It'll, you know, you can write whatever you want in it to identify yourself. And I think everyone should make their own user page so we can know, you know, what, who, is whom, I guess. So I'm going to click edit on my user page. So now I'm going to type, I'm a student at Harvard, law school. And say I want to say, all right, well, I want to put a link to Harvard Law School because that's my school and maybe people have heard of it, but they haven't been to the website. So I'm going to, and there are several ways to do this. You could either click, do you see that, the world icon up there? That is telling you how to make an external link. I could have written it myself, but you'll see, basically you put your URL and then you put the title of the link you want, and it's in between two brackets. So I'm going to put Harvard Law School as my link title. And after you get the hang of this, you can just do it automatically. And then the website, law.harvard.edu.
Where do the L
is?
The Harvard.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So now I'm going to save this page. Oh, wait. Why is it not? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Single bracket. Okay, so then double. All right, saving that. Now, that's an external link, so that's going outside of the wiki. All right, so now I click on this, and it'll take me to Harvard Law School. Now, say I want to link to another page within the wiki, because once you create your, I guess, projects, you'll have a lot of individual pages that you want to link to. Well, instead of creating an, they'll all have their own URL, like see how this one is cyber.law@harvard.edu/cyber1/wiki-title=. Instead of writing all of that, you can have an internal link, which will direct it to a page within the wiki. So say I want to say, here is my project page, and then I want to link, okay, say the name of my project page is Cyber Project. There are two ways you can do this. If the name of your page is the same as what you're linking to, you just need to put it in a set of two brackets. So say, if it's just called Cyber Project, then all I have to do is put it in two brackets. But say I want to link, I want to say this is my project page, and then the page is called Cyber Project. What I do is I put the name of the page, and then I put what I always forget the name of this symbol. It's above the return. You put shift and return. It's like a.
It's a pipe.
Is that the name of it? Okay. Well, you learn something new every day.
It's like a vertical bar.
Yeah, it's a vertical bar. Okay, so I put the vertical bar there, and then I enclose it in two brackets, and I save the page. Hopefully, it'll save. Okay, so now I have this link, and then I have a cyber project page. As you can see, I haven't started it yet. So when you link to a page, you can link to pages that don't yet exist, and then you can go to them, as in this case, and then I'm just going to, this is a test page for cyber one. Is it one word or two words?
One word.
Okay, one word. And then I'm going to save the page. So now I've created my new page for my cyber project.
All right, so just for quick review, creating a page is a very important thing that you do in the wiki, and it's extremely easy to do. If you want to create a page, the simplest way is you have a name for your page, and you simply put your name for your page in double brackets. The double brackets automatically creates a page with that name. It'll show up in red when there's nothing on the page. When you first create it, it will show up in red. If you click on it and go to it and put something in it, then it will show up thereafter in blue. So the process of creating a wiki page is total child's play.
Although this is a little bit of a technical issue, but watch out with case. Sometimes wiki software is case sensitive. So right now, this page is called Cyber Project. And as you can see, I wrote something on here. Now, say I go to Cyber Project with a lowercase p. It's going to take me to, there's no page. This page does not exist. So just watch out with case names. And then the first letter of pages are always capitalized within the software. So
question.
I was going to say that the first letter of the case doesn't matter. You can link to it with the first letter in lowercase, and it will still work.
Right. It automatically redirects to the uppercase. But the other letters thereafter are case sensitive. This is true. And then also, I'm going back to my user page. Okay, hopefully I'll flesh it out a little bit when I sit down. There's also a discussion part of this page. And we didn't really talk about discuss pages, but I know I probably am running out of time. Just really quickly, on Wikipedia in general, you see this article and you think, oh, well, people just go in and make edits. But actually, there's a huge discussion that usually goes on alongside of those edits. And there's this thing called the discussion, or better known as the talk page, where people will talk about their edits and maybe say, hey, you know, I saw this in this article, but it looks inaccurate, and here are the sources. What do you think? You know, should I reorganize this? And they really engage in the conversation. So that would be one useful resource on our wiki. But also, on my own user page, people might want to leave me messages. So the way that this usually works is somebody will go to my discuss page, and they'll say, hey, Elizabeth, how are you? You know, what's up? And one way, see this little, it looks like a signature there. If you put that there, the way people usually do it on Wikipedia is they'll write their comment, and then they'll sign it, and then those four tildes has a timestamp with my name and then the time that I signed it.
Elizabeth, suppose you wanted to put a photograph up on your user page. Could you do that?
I could. What are the... Do we have restrictions for file uploads on this wiki?
Not that I know of.
Because sometimes file uploads to wikis can be a little bit tricky. But so if you go to Toolbox, Upload File,
Wait a minute. Go slower. Go back and go slower.
Okay. So I'm on my user page, and then you see where Toolbox is on the, here, let's move it, on the left bottom portion. We'll click on, here, Upload File.
Upload File.
I don't have a file here.
It's not actually there.
Okay. But if you can see here, you would browse and find the file on your hard drive. And then if you wanted to change the name of the file from what the what it is on your hard drive to what it's going to be on the server, you can do that. Summary would be a description of the file. It's, is it optional? I think it's optional.
Optional, yeah.
And then you would click upload file, and then to use that file, then you'd just link to it in the two brackets, and then you'd have image, colon, and then the name of the file.
So. And once again, if this is just something to poke around with, you'll find a photograph somewhere on the wiki, just look how it's uploaded, and you can figure it out extremely simply.
I think a lot of learning is really just by looking at what other people did, and you can mimic that, and then by the end, you'll just get a hang of it. And then also, do we have a link to a how-to or a little tutorial?
No, but somebody wants to.
Okay, well, I can.
That would be great.
There's a link to it on the website, or on this site. If you go under. If you go under Edit, and at the bottom you hit Edit and Help. If you go to your user.
Right, okay.
Edit, or right there, yeah, Edit, go to the bottom.
Right, and then there's. Right, there we go. Opens in a new, although,
so it gets on the video.
This is a default in MediaWiki, and we don't actually, oh, here we go. Wiki tips, examples, and overview. Oh, did somebody just add this? Cool. Did you just add this, or was that there?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did. Oh, great. Okay, so somebody wonderfully just added this. Oh, wow. This is the wonders of wikis. So now we have a user guide.
So what we're showing here is that there's a user guide on the sidebar on the left-hand side of the wiki, just for people on the video who didn't hear. And students in the class just did that for us.
Yeah, so this is really the wonders of wikis.
All right. Elizabeth, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So we're about to have a discussion in the law school class about how their grading is going to be done, and I think that's going to be the end of our class as far as the video is concerned, so that this is something that the law students can feel is really just happening for them. So thank you very much to the people out there in the rest of the world, and enjoy your wiki.
All right.